broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Let's also remember that after parents, the biggest impact on child success.
If I had never wore this tie, I wouldn't have known his
true. We are held to a high standard of public service.
And the security procedures are now going too far. I mean, there is a line somewhere, and he believes in
those fat, lazy veterans.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Because truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't and they won't, so they don't. 877-876-7445. 877-876-7445, the number here. And coming up this hour, a Utah trooper, well, actually coming up later on tonight in our news hour, a Utah trooper is in hot water for hitting a 53-year-old woman in the head. It was during a traffic stop there in Utah, and something went wrong. I don't know what, man. I don't know. I don't want to know. I guess I'm going to have to find out, though. Hit her in the head after this traffic stop, and so there's been hell to pay on that one, man. We'll find out about it. And the nastiest hotels in the country. Joining us this hour is Dr. Ron Tarner, 877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com. If you want to have email contact with me, that's where you email us, at Phil Hendry Show. You go to our website, and you go to Backstage, and you hit that, and you'll find the email form. And we get to our email, and we email you back, and we talk to you, and some people I go back and forth with, and some people I'm like psychoanalyzing, and it's really creepy and really weird, but hey, you know, we said we would do it, so we do. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner is an astronomer as well as a cosmologist at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. We have Ron on the line with us tonight, and we're going to talk about something that a lot of people didn't see, Dr. Tarner, and that was Michelle Bachmann's Tea Party response to President Obama. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm very good, Phil. I have my son Jesse with me this week, so we're having a great time.
Can you tell the audience? I did see it, Ron. I know you did too. Tell the audience what Michelle Bachmann was doing, and you don't have to give me any commentary. Just tell us. Just describe what you what happened after the president's speech. Because again, I don't think a lot of people saw it.
Absolutely, Phil. Congresswoman Bachmann came on television following Representative Ryan's response. So the Republicans had two responses, and I guess the television networks carried Congressman Ryan's response.
And that was a more mainstream Republican response?
I would say it was the more mainstream one, although with the popularity of the Tea Party, you don't really know what is a mainstream Republican response anymore. But then came Congresswoman Bachmann. And Congresswoman Bachmann gave her response to President Obama's State of the Union speech. She said that the last several years were a disaster in terms of federal spending. She said that the health care plan was an absolute disaster. She said that the Tea Party is a very positive and constructive response to the distress that America finds itself in. And she said a lot of different things. And then she used as, and she said that we were facing a big fight. We were facing a very challenging future in making sure that we bring spending under control and making sure, Phil, that President Obama's health care plan doesn't get passed. And then, as a way of illustrating what the battle represents, she brought out a photograph, which I consider to be iconic, as do other Americans, the photograph of the Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima.
You were offended by that.
I was absolutely offended by that. Where she would use the image of those Marines raising that flag on Iwo Jima as a symbol of the Tea Party's fight to overturn Barack Obama's legislation, I found it to be absolutely offensive. And I think every veteran out there would, if they had seen this, they would have. And if they'd seen it, and it was really an embarrassing display, Phil, because she wasn't looking at the camera for whatever reason. They had set the teleprompter up wrong. She was not only looking at the camera the wrong way, She had on too much highlighter. It was, I think, an embarrassing presentation, but I was very put off by this using of that image.
Now, you told me that you are involved in work for animal rights. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we do use that image.
All right, so you do use the image of the Marines raising, and I agree with you. That is an iconic, and I was just talking to Jason, you know, my producer during the break, and said, well, one of the iconic images in American history, well, I suppose as kids we saw, you know, Washington crossing the Delaware, you know.
Oh, and, you know, and Mount Rushmore and then, many things. And I don't think there's anyone that doesn't know the photograph of the Marines on Iwo Jima raising the flag.
All right. She used that for the Tea Party. You use it for animal rights.
Completely different and just a completely different political point of view. And let's slow down here, because I want to be very clear. And if I got this wrong, I want you to tell me, Phil. I didn't think you were going to bring that up. If that is true, then we could talk about it.
Nobody told me not to bring it up. I know that you're involved in a great many animal rights causes there in Colorado. And haven't you guys used the Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima as a symbol?
We have used it in our bailers. Here is why it is different from what Michelle Bachmann did tonight in that State of the Union address. It's different because we are talking about the rights of a creature on this earth. We're talking about rights. And so it's different than her talking about not liking a president. I was going to say a black president. I guess that I shouldn't say that.
No, I don't want you to attribute that. We don't have to get, if the woman is using a symbol.
All right, I won't use it. You don't. I understand, Phil.
But I mean, if the woman's using a symbol or the Tea Party's using a symbol that you find inappropriate, we don't have to say it's against a black president.
Well,
it's against the fact that he's got a big spending program they don't like.
All right, it's against what they consider to be socialism. Completely different.
Why is your animal rights, the work you do with animal rights, why is it all right to use that Iwo Jima flag picture and not Michelle Bachmann's Tea Party?
Is it different? I'll tell you why. The difference, Phil, is that we do work for the rights of animals. She is doing work to tear down a president. And let me say something else. What she's doing is she's using this very beloved image of the United States Marines on Iwo Jima raising that flag. She's using that to promote the a political fiscal view, whereas we use it to promote the rights of to promote human rights. It's not human rights, but we promote animal rights. But when we in our advertising, we say human rights. Now, this happened tonight, and it happened, Phil, out of view of a great many people. I'm sorry that they missed it, that President Obama gave his State of the Union address, and then Michelle Bachmann stole from every American out there stole this image.
Dr. Ron Turner is with us. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. And he's talking about Michelle Bachmann giving her response to the State of the Union. There were two by the Republicans. One was from, I suppose, mainstream Republicans, from Congressman Ryan. And then the other was from Congresswoman Bachmann. And in hers, she did have behind her, and she turned and sort of presented it, a photograph of the Iwo Jima Marines. Now, at the time that she turned and said, we have a big fight ahead, we have a against all odds, she turned and she said, well, this is against all odds. And that's when we saw that.
That's when she brought out the Iwo Jima flag. And let me just say, it was another example of Michelle Bachmann getting history wrong, because she said that against all odds. Well, the Marines had a very tough fight on Iwo Jima, but it was not against all odds. By that point, the American military had rolled the Japanese back very smartly, thank you very much. But I'll tell you, when I saw her, in the name of rolling back the Obama agenda, show the Marine Corps flag, I called up a friend of mine, Dick Wilson, who's a big Tea Party guy, and I said, you have got to be kidding me. And that's when he brought up the fact that we use the Marine flag on our animal rights brochures.
What did you say?
I said to him, that's not what I'm talking about right now. I said, I'm talking about your woman here, Bachman. And I said that I'm offended on behalf of all Americans, and especially veterans, on behalf of all veterans, for what Bachman did. And he said to me, what about veterans that would be upset with you using it for animal rights? And I kept saying to him, you really want to keep turning this against me. It's got nothing to do with me.
Well, isn't that a good question, if you're using it for animal rights?
No, it's not. It's not a good question, no. I've already explained to you that the Tea Party sponsored the Bachman insult to veterans. The Tea Party's not sponsoring me. And if it's an insult to veterans, at least the Tea Party's not doing it.
And well, what if we got some calls from veterans and find out what they think? You know?
Well, if I could jump in, Phil?
Go ahead.
I don't think that's a good idea. Let me tell you why. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to talk to them. I don't think Michelle Bachman would want to talk to them. And since she's not here, I think it's only fair. I think it's fair for me to say that I'm speaking on behalf of veterans. I don't think she is, but I don't want to talk to any veterans. So I'd appreciate if you kept the veterans off the air. I think I am speaking for them, and that's enough for this conversation.
Well, I don't know that that's... All right, I don't know that you can say that. We're talking here with...
Phil, please.
All right, hold on. We're talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner. Our number, 877-876-7445, on Michelle Bachman's response to the State of the Union address tonight, which used the Marine Corps raising the flag on Iwo Jima as a symbol of the against-the-odds fight she and the Tea Party have in rolling back Obamacare and these other examples of too much spending. Dr. Ron Tarner thinks that it's an insult to veterans to use it in that way, although his animal rights campaigns have used it quite a bit. And
if I could speak on my behalf.
Go ahead.
We have used it, but I've used it in favor of the rights of animals, not against human beings living.
And well, that's not what...
If you're rolling back Obamacare... All right, I don't want to get into it.
All right, 877-876-7445 is the number. Your phone calls for our guest, Dr. Ron Tarner, coming up next. And next hour, we have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Show back here on number 877-876-7445 as we talk here to Dr. Ron Tarner. Dr. Tarner is a scientist. He's an astronomer. But we're not talking with him tonight about his field of study or his professional field. We're talking tonight about the use of a very iconic American image, which is the Marines raising the American flag on Mount Suribachi in World War II, which was used tonight by Michelle Bachman in her speech against Barack Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and you were offended by that. Now, I can understand that, but what I'm trying to figure out here is the images that you use in your animal rights campaigns, which are equally iconic.
Well, you say equally iconic.
Let's talk about this picture of people falling from the World Trade Center. And that is, as long as I live, that will always be with me, the people that were jumping.
That is exactly right, Phil, and it is a terrible memory that we'll all have. We use that image, if I could, and we blend that image into lobsters that are dropped into a pot of boiling water, which is equally horrific and equally against human rights, animal rights, and so forth.
And you also use the very iconic photograph of Dr. King's murder in Memphis.
We do. And we, I have to tell you, Phil, I believe we're very respectful with everything we do.
All right, but I mean, I know that you've had a problem with KFC, animal rights, PETA, all these people. But the people that are pointing from the balcony of Dr. King's motel are pointing at a KFC, right?
That is exactly right.
And you don't worry that there's going to be some sort of racial overtone?
You know, I think you should apologize to me. For you to say something like that.
You don't think that a very iconic picture of black people of Jesse Jackson and other people that were with Reverend King that day pointing, and what they were pointing to is where the shots came from. And
Mr. Henry, I'm aware of what they're pointing at.
But in the picture, you've got them pointing to a KFC. And looking here at the caption, even Dr. King knew.
That is correct, Phil. And
why would you use his name? Why would you use the Marines? What, you know, you got a problem with Michelle Bachmann.
What are you talking about, use the Marines? I think if Dr. King were alive, I don't think he'd want animals to be abused. I think he was a humanist in every way. And I think we are being far more respectful to Dr. King than Michelle Bachmann ever was or ever will be in her whole life. When it comes to the United States Marines and her misuse of that flag and the picture. Now, I'm very happy to speak on behalf of the Marine Corps.
Are you a veteran yourself?
That is completely irrelevant.
Are you a veteran, sir? I'm just asking. Are you a veteran?
That's completely irrelevant.
So that's a no, right?
No, it's not a no. It's irrelevant.
Well, I'm going to take it as a no.
No, you will not take it as a no.
Then it's a yes.
I'm saying to you that it is completely irrelevant.
You're going to speak for veterans, and you're going to say that the use of that flag, that iconic Suribachi flag raising by Michelle Bachmann, is offensive to veterans.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But not when you use it in your animal rights campaign.
I think I've made myself very clear. I think you owe me an apology, saying that what I was basically saying was, hey, here's some black people on a Memphis balcony, and let's go get ourselves a bucket of chicken.
And no, I didn't say that. I said, could it be taken that way?
Well, you introduced the theme.
You introduced the theme, sir, I think, by using that picture and using Dr. King's name. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dan in Brawley, California. Dan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm a veteran. I spent 20 years in the Navy from 1963 to 1983. And I don't find it offensive at all that Ms. Bachmann...
Were you a Marine?
Marine Corps Memorial.
Were you a Marine?
Her speech.
But you weren't a Marine, right?
Pardon me?
You were not a Marine, a member of the Marine Corps?
Well, what difference does it make? You said
Marine.
Veteran.
I wasn't a Marine. I was in the Navy. The Marine Corps is part of the Navy. If you were a veteran, you would know that.
I know that, but...
I currently work with Marine Corps.
Well, I understand that, sir, but you know as well as I do that the Marine Corps...
And none of the Marines I work with are.
The Marine Corps, they all laugh at you guys and call you Popeye.
It's people like you. People like you who have never served that think you can speak for veterans. Well, you can't.
I'm speaking on behalf of veterans.
You have never served. You have never served, and you have no right to speak for veterans.
If you thought about it, you would feel ashamed of yourself. You feel ashamed that you support veterans, sir.
Veterans, sir, can I ask you something?
What do you do when a Marine does the Popeye laugh when you walk by? You know they do.
Marines don't do that.
What's that got to do with anything?
Oh, he knows. The Marines are always making fun of guys.
Marines don't do that. The Marines I work with don't do that.
Not to your face, no. And here you are defending...
Let's forget about that, okay? This inter-service whatever's going on. Let's listen to what the man's saying.
You know as well as I do,
they go, it's been a dead issue for years. The inter-service rivalry has been a dead issue for years.
You've never served, have you, sir?
Sir, you have never served, have you?
That is irrelevant.
Well, you know what? You've got to answer that question.
You're talking about veterans. You say you're speaking for veterans. It's very relevant.
I think that it's safe to say the use of that flag by Michelle Bachmann is an offense to every Marine.
Have you spent any time in the service?
I won't dignify that with an answer.
Have you spent any time in the service?
So have you, sir.
I won't dignify it with an answer. I won't dignify it.
That's not an answer. I don't know why you don't want to. I don't know why you don't want to answer that question.
I will just simply say this. Yeah, that bothers you, doesn't it? And that's what Marines do to you guys behind your back.
That's none of your beeswax. What we're asking here is, if you are using this flag, the Suribachi raising, this in your animal rights campaign, why can't Michelle Bachmann use it in hers?
Because I'm helping save animals. I'm not standing there trying to get elected president.
Anyway, Dan, thanks for your call. 877-876-7445. 877-876-7445. World famous film.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. You know, when you said that, Ron, there's few things in this world that will bring me close to tears. A public image. When that child was shot in Iran, that girl, that Neda, that tore the guts out of me. And for you guys to even consider using that.
Phil, I told you we did not. Out of respect, obviously. I told you we did not.
The fact that you would even consider using that for your animal rights campaign. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
If I could interrupt you, you've had an awful lot of judgment here tonight. And I think your judgment is concerning what I do with images, such as the Kennedy assassination. And
you've got a picture of President Kennedy, and everybody remembers this picture, where he leans forward and he's holding his throat.
That is correct.
And underneath it's something along the lines of, where is this? Give it to me, bud. This is what happens. Here it is. This is what happens when you eat mercury-laced tuna. That was President Kennedy having been shot.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And you're saying this is what happens when you eat mercury-laced tuna. In other words, let's take the another iconic image of an American president being murdered before our very eyes and turn that into what happens to people when they eat tuna.
Am I using the death of American Marines to promote my agenda to be president of the United States?
Okay. Don, what I'm saying...
Am I using my agenda to use American Marines raising the flag to be president of the United States? Yes or no?
I'm not going to be asked a yes or no question.
Am I...
No, you're not. And I don't think Michelle Bachmann was either.
Oh, give me a break. She stood there with too much eyeliner, and I have to be honest with you. I'm being personal, and I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it. Whoever put the makeup on that woman tonight, I don't know what they were going for, but she looked like something out of 28 weeks later.
Well, that's very flattering.
I didn't put on her eyeliner, and she was staring off into space, and then those great Marines raising that flag, and this is the symbol of the Tea Party. I thought I was going to vomit excrement, and I'm sorry to put it that way, but I thought that everything was going to come out of my mouth, including what goes the other way. That's how sick I was.
But you don't call it sick when you take a picture of Martin Luther King's death and those people pointing, and they're pointing at a KFC.
Because of the free-range chicken?
Because of the free-range chicken, Martin Luther King. 877-876-PHIL. It's amazing that you don't see my point.
It's amazing that you don't see how over the top you are compared to what Obama, what Michelle Bachmann did with her Elvira Mistress of the Night makeup.
877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call. Melanie on KHNU in Hawaii. Go ahead, Melanie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, I just wanted to say just how listening to the program, I just think it's incredibly inappropriate for this gentleman to speak for veterans, to speak for people, to speak for Michelle Bachmann, when he doesn't speak to them, he won't let them have their say. So I just
wanted to
say that it is inappropriate to speak for someone else and not let someone speak for themselves, because I'm a Hawaiian person. I am 50% Hawaiian. I would not say all Hawaiians feel this way just because I am Hawaiian. I have my own personal view, my own thoughts, and that's what all people have. And for this gentleman to say, well, this I think all veterans, he does not know all veterans. He can say, this is how I feel, this is what I think, but
I don't speak for all veterans.
For people,
but I'm simply
on
saying
their behalf.
That the yes, I'm saying though, in this case, and only in this case, I don't think the veterans are educated enough to know what they're talking about. So I speak for them.
What do you mean not educated
that's
enough?
So
don't you think every
for you to say uneducated?
Well,
that is so
that
rude
just in this
of
one
you,
instance.
And so crass and so unintelligent for you to make a statement like that to say all veterans.
Melody, Phil, Mr. Hendry lied to me. Mr. Hendry lied to me and put a veteran on the air when he said he wouldn't.
I didn't say that I wouldn't put veterans on the air.
He wouldn't. He did not say. I was listening the entire time. He did not say he wouldn't. That is something that you want. But this is his show. Do you understand that?
Ma'am.
This is his show, not your show.
I'll give you an example. You know as well as I do that all Hawaiians are resentful of the United States making it a state, correct?
I am not resentful. I am not. You cannot speak for me.
Oh, come on. Why do you lie?
Where do you get off speaking on behalf of people?
I don't understand how you can say this. So the fact, I just want to say.
I'm saying based on what I know, Hawaiians want to have the king back.
No, you don't know. You don't know because you are not born and raised from the island. So you do not know. Okay, I am. I am born. My generations are from this island. So you do not know. Okay.
Well, you don't know where I'm from.
Where are you from, Don?
I'm not going to dignify that.
So you won't tell me if you're a veteran. You won't tell me where you're from. Are you from Hawaii?
I'm not going to say where I'm from.
How can you speak for Hawaiians?
From what I know of Hawaiians, and I know a lot, they want the king back, the pineapple groves. They want that life back. That's what I've heard.
That is so incredibly untrue.
Oh, my God.
That is so incredibly untrue. Okay? I am a born and raised Hawaiian. So to push all that aside and to not make things personal, which is what you are doing, you are making things personal and you're not making it about the facts. So the fact is that you cannot speak for people. The fact is that you have your thoughts. That's your fact. That's your idea. Okay, that is your view. My view is that Michelle Bachmann speaks for people like me who cannot speak out, who do not have the opportunity to go on air and say how they feel. She is speaking for people, for the silenced people like us, who cannot stand up and say, this is how I feel. So just to let you know, it is how I feel. I feel that way. And I feel that Michelle Bachmann, she has her right to speak.
I would have believed you had you not told me you were Hawaiian.
What did you say?
I would have believed her had she not told me she was Hawaiian. And that changed everything.
What does that mean?
When she told me she was Hawaiian, then I began to realize that her agenda is to bring the monarchy back to Hawaii.
That has nothing to do with it. We're not even talking about that.
Well, I understand, but I do speak for veterans.
Michelle Bachmann, you felt that all veterans would think that they were offended. That's what you felt, and that is what we were discussing on this show.
I believe that they are. Yes, I believe they are.
And you don't have any idea that you're not a veteran.
You
had a veteran call and say...
Let me ask this lady a question. Have you ever seen the Harlem Globetrotters? You probably haven't. And the reason why you haven't is because they're not allowed in Hawaii. Why? Because they're afraid that the Globetrotters, believe it or not, will stir up some kind of nativist reaction among Hawaiians.
About what?
About bringing back King, I don't know what his name was.
You are making intelligent conversation about something incredibly ridiculous. Do you understand that, sir?
No, ma'am.
Incredibly ridiculous.
Absolutely asinine. And your views on Hawaii, and
ridiculous.
I bet you I know why I know why you're thinking this way, because President Obama's from there, right?
You don't know that.
You know what? That's exactly, now I'm putting two and two together. You a birther?
That's none of your business.
Uh-huh. All right, Melanie, thank you very, very much. And
thank you for calling us.
Thank you very much, dear. Mahalo to you. I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, there's a good example there. You went mahalo. What, are you all of a sudden a beachcomber or something?
No, I was trying to be polite.
Do you know what that means?
Goodbye?
Well, duh. Let me be the one that speaks to people of color and veterans, because I have, as a longtime member of the Democratic Party, I feel I understand them better. And for you to jump in and...
What is this stuff about the Harlem Globetrotters, man? About how did they ever play Hawaii? 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Davey in Vallejo, California. Davey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I am. I'm a son of a 28-year Navy veteran, and he never spoke like that with the Marines. I was in NJRTC through high school for 2 years. Uh-huh. Went on a cruise, Marines, and then how dare he borrow an iconic military picture?
Yeah.
He has never been in the service.
Michelle Bachmann's never been in the service, and she had that thing up tonight talking about the Tea Party. And yet I use it for animal rights and for my lectures that I'll be doing next summer. And
oh, for your lectures that you'll be doing next summer. For profit?
It's very unfair, Mr.
For-profit lectures?
It's very unfair to let Michelle Bachmann use it, and I can't.
Why don't you, go ahead, sir.
I'm going to back up because I used to live in Hawaii, too.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Did you see the Harlem Globetrotters?
I know what I'm talking about. I've been to that memorial. Them boys and girls, there's girls nowadays, putting their lives on the line.
It's
and how
not in Hawaii. Where the Marines raised the flag is Mount Suribachi at Iwo Jima, not Hawaii.
How dare you claim to be of an icon when you never served in the military? I can tell the way you...
I'm an icon? I can tell by the way you look through your face, you're probably crazier than a crap house rat, right?
And
right.
I'm a man
of... Where that flag was raised on Iwo Jima, not Hawaii.
I'm not saying anything. Your intelligence not come up with your own idea. Tell me that, or you can't answer that either.
Yes, I did come up with my own idea, and this is it. The flag was raised on Iwo Jima, not Hawaii.
You copied the blessings of our men and women that are fighting for this country. Did you not?
Right.
And so did she.
Yeah,
why can't either one of you
did too.
Come up with your idea?
Michelle Bachmann did too.
You're the doctor.
Oh, and she's the idiot?
Tell everybody,
God, it's so unfair.
You're the doctor. How come you can't come up with something?
How come you don't know where the flag was raised? How come you know Iwo Jima is not in Hawaii? Iwo Jima is Iwo Jima.
You brought to Hawaii. You have nothing to do with the discussion.
Yeah, it does. Because you think that the flag was raised by the Marines in Hawaii. You blithering idiot.
Oh, will you come on? That's a very sacred icon, that flag raised on Mount Suribachi. You're using it for your animal rights campaign, and now I find out for a series of lectures that you're going to be giving. Where are you giving the lectures?
If I answer that, then this man Davey is going to go ape on me.
Where are you giving the lectures?
In Hawaii.
Oh, well, that's great.
I'm giving a series of lectures on how to treat it. What?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Mount Suribachi and chicken beak, which winds up in most of your hamburger meat. All right? That's number one. Number two, you went to Hawaii. You saw the Harlem Globetrotters. I talked to a woman from Hawaii moments ago who said she doesn't want the royalty back. Well, you know what? You could have knocked me over with a feather. Okay? Okay, Dave? All right.
No. You still lost me.
See you later. 877-876-PHIL.
You having fun?
You know, you sound like a jackass. No wonder the guy was laughing.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm having fun. You're going to use the Mount Suribachi picture. You're going to do this and that. I think if you are going to single out Michelle Bachmann for misusing an American iconic photograph, then you have to look at what you're doing. Using it for a series of lectures. You got Kennedy getting shot, and it looks like he's eating bad tuna. You got people falling out of the World Trade Center, and you use that for lobsters that are dropped into boiling water. I mean, every kind of picture that brings out such emotion in people you use for your animal rights campaign. But Michelle Bachmann uses the Suribachi photo, and she's bad. Here's James in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, James. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I'm kind of curious. You pretty much hit the nail on the head. He's using the same picture that Michelle did, and he's badgering her, but he's not pointing a finger at himself. He's pointing one finger at her. Well, he's got to try and look. He's got four more pointing at himself. I mean, let's compare people.
I lost a finger in a skill saw accident.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I said I lost one of my fingers in a skill saw accident. So I'm actually pointing. I'm only pointing three fingers back at myself.
Okay, but you get the man's point, right?
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna sit here and say that somebody jumping out of the World Trade Center who had two choices: burned to death or jumped to your death. You know, personally, I'd much rather jump. I'm a fireman, and one of the main things that scares me is fire. But I do it because I want to learn more about it. And I can tell you this much. I can tell you this much. I'd much rather jump to my death. In hopes I die of a heart attack and sit there and burn to death. That's a slow, agonizing death. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't sit there either. I would be running.
You're going to compare that to a lobster being dropped in a pot. You know, the last time I checked, which I don't know how far the religion y'all go, we're not getting into that. But you know, the good Lord put animals on this earth for us to eat, and I believe a lobster is one of them. I mean, you got to compare that to a shrimp. I mean, yeah, is that going to be your next slogan? Don't eat shrimp, and then show, you know, the world.
If you said that the good Lord put the animals on the planet to eat, you have a dog. You obviously don't eat the dog. And there are other animals that we don't eat.
We've actually, unlike you, we've moved forward in history and started learning more. You're like, don't eat your dog. I'm not. I'm eating a lobster.
That's
a shell.
I'm going backward in time because I want to make sure that the Hawaiian people don't reestablish are you laughing at me?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because at one point you're talking about, you know, the American people. Okay, now you're talking about the Hawaiians like they're not even American. I mean, if you're talking about American people, let's just say the American people. I mean, okay, you're going to go to Hawaii. I guarantee you it's probably going to be during the summertime. There's going to be a lot of people out there on the beach having a good time, you know, suntanning and everything. Congratulations.
Okay.
I'm proud of you. Go on a vacation.
Okay,
because it's an animal rights movement. Be sure to have your picture of the flag being raised on Iwo Jima, okay?
Okay, wait a second. How come I can't do that, but Michelle Bachmann, in order to get health care rolled back, uses a picture of Marines dying on Mount Suribachi, and that's okay with you?
Because she is representing something about the government.
She's not representing anything other than her own desire to be president of the United States. But I'm the guy that gets slapped around and beat like some jail bitch.
Because you're showing pictures, as he says, of JFK getting shot.
Yeah.
And you're comparing that to eating whatever. I didn't even hear that last
No, I said this man just ate, this guy just ate chicken of the sea.
All right, listen, James, it's insane. This man just ate chicken of the sea.
That's right.
That's what you're using that JFK picture for. Well, you know something, man? JFK was a guy. He was a human. He had family. He had relatives. Maybe they don't want you using his picture for chicken of the sea. And maybe they don't want Martin Luther King pointing to KFC, man. Boy.
You called that racist.
Yeah, I think that if there's a bunch of black folks pointing to a KFC, some people might get the idea. James, thank you for your call. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. What an idiot you are, man.
This is the world-famous... Bill
what?
Hendry Show.
I know I am, but what are you?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, famous Phil Hendry Show next time. We have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Let's take one more phone call here for Dr. Ron Turner. We have Richard in Charlestown, Indiana. And Richard, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, how are you doing today, Phil?
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment concerning the doctor there. I don't know where he got his PhD from, whether he's really a doctor or not. But anyway,
I got my PhD from California Institute of Technology, Caltech.
Okay, well, you don't sound very
intelligent. What state are you in?
I'm in Indiana. But to get to the point, Indiana.
Where's Illinois?
Never mind. Go ahead.
To get to the point here is Michelle Bachmann's got just as much right to use the picture of the Marines using raising the flag at Iwo Jima as you do yourself. The reason she is using that is to show that they fought for our constitutional rights. And she has just as much right, the Tea Party has just as much right to protect. We're protecting ourselves against Obama's administration.
No right to use the U.S. Marines to attack Obama's health care plan. That is, somebody should have arrested her.
Arrested her? I mean, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of speech, okay?
Somebody needs to attack Obama's health care because with his death panels and everything else,
you think those Marines that died on... Yeah, the Marines that died on Iwo Jima, they were all Republicans? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so, neither.
Well,
good thing they weren't all like you, that's for sure.
Why can't I use that picture to promote, dogs being allowed to do what they want to do? Why can't I do that?
Well, I agree with you. I protect animals and all that, but she has the right to use that. Just as much.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Your passion is coming off as erratic.
The state assembly did their job. Democrats in the assembly stood up.
This was a very difficult time in my life.
Hollywood's biggest night.
And it's
going to be a wide hump.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome here to the world famous Phil Hendry show. And tonight we unveil our newest look, which is our Phil TV, a new generation of our webcast. Right now I have a roller coaster I'm sitting in front of here. As it careens down a track in Las Vegas, and we're broadcasting from the El Pacifico, but we have multiple camera angles, we've got effects, and we're going to continue to improve on the video look. So go over to philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and watch as we continue to improve the product, not just on the air, but online as well. 877-876 Phil's the number here. Charlie Sheen goes on a media blitz today, saying he's sober and he's going to sue CBS. Governor Walker of Wisconsin gives the fleeing Senate Democrats an ultimatum, plus eco-friendly low-flow toilets in San Francisco cause a big stink, literally. Professor Emery Clayton joins us this hour to talk about Louis Farrakhan saying these uprisings in the Middle East will come to America. And I was at the Genesis Club here in Southern California this weekend to hear an address of Professor Clayton's, and he and I are going to talk about that. Our number is 877-876-7445, and our affiliate spotlight tonight is on WXNT, 1430 AM in Indianapolis, and the WVOP, 970 AM in Vidalia, Georgia. Great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show network, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. So check out our brand spanking new Phil TV videocast, the second generation of our videocast. And while you're online, go ahead and pick up a backstage pass and listen to our archives. We've got thousands of hours, and we continue to add to them, as well as our videocast, as well as our news feed, as well as our email, which I answered all of it this weekend, even though it's in form letter.
I'm keeping it like that.
Well, at least I answered it, okay? Professor Emery Clayton joining us from L.A. Canyon College in Southern California as Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader, predicted on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East. And I heard you speak last night, Professor Clayton, about this, and you seem to agree with Louis Farrakhan.
Well, I do agree with Louis Farrakhan, and I said as much at the Genesis Club address that I made last night, one that I was very grateful to see you at, Phil. And I heard the people who were there discussing afterward the veracity of these claims made by Minister Farrakhan. We can get into discussing what Minister Farrakhan said. But I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, young man.
And all right.
I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, because as I was giving my address and giving my reasons based upon some 250, if not 300 years of European colonial rule in North America, using the sweat of African slaves, and as I was giving historical precedent and citing historical reasons for what Minister Farrakhan said, I saw you in the front row, and you weren't the only one. And I will talk to those individuals that I saw in my own good time, but I saw you laughing at one point.
You saw me laughing when?
I don't recall at what point in the address, but I got the distinct impression you were not taking me seriously, and that's fine. I suppose a man has every right in the world to express his opinion, but I think I have every right in the world to express the following opinion.
And well, let me just, for if I was laughing, and I do recall laughing, it was at the notion that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root in the United States.
That was in essence the comments made by Minister Farrakhan. And he made those comments in Illinois. He said, well, you're looking at Tunisia, you're looking at Egypt, you're looking at Libya, you're looking at Bahrain. You'd better prepare because it's coming to your door.
Right, and that's when I laughed.
Yes, you laughed. And what I want to say on your program tonight was, I don't think it was the kindest thing in the world to do, Phil. But I'm not worried for myself. I'm not worried for myself. I thought it was insulting to me because I'm an educated man. It's got nothing to do with Emory Clayton, the man, but it did have something to do with me as a professor.
You feel insulted that I left?
Of course I felt insulted that you left. Excuse me for a minute. I need some water.
Go ahead.
Of course I felt insulted. And I felt insulted because I am a professor of urban studies at a university here in the United States of America, and you've told me you don't even have a college degree. Is that correct?
I do not have a college degree, no. But let me just say this. I don't...
You don't have a college degree, and yet you sat and you laughed at me.
I wasn't laughing at you.
Well, then what were you laughing at?
I was laughing at the notion that you were, you know, I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the notion. I wouldn't even be laughing, really, at Minister Farrakhan. I'm laughing at the idea that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root here in the United States. A completely different country sociologically, a completely different country politically, a completely different country historically.
And the people of color that live in this country, do you think there's some other kind of person of color that lives in Africa or lives in the Middle East?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you why.
You do. So you say there is a different, what, do they have a tail?
No, they are different culturally, politically, historically. If you're talking about black people or even Arab people in America, these are Arab American, African American. These are different people from the standpoint of upbringing, from the standpoint of socialization, from the standpoint of their orientation politically, from the standpoint, everything. They're North Americans, you know.
All right. You use a lot of big words. But what I am trying to tell you, Phil, is that no amount of big words, no amount of reading in a magazine and getting a big word out of it, is going to make up for the fact that you don't have a college education. And the people that are listening to your program, I think, are going to take their cue from you. And I know that a lot of people in America don't have college education. I know that a lot of people that are working third shift are not college educated.
All right, and what is the point? Are we not allowed to have opinions?
You are most certainly allowed to have an opinion, but it's not an informed opinion when it comes to debating me. My opinion is informed by the fact that I've got a college degree. My opinion is informed by the fact that I'm a college-educated black man. My opinion is informed by the fact that I am not only a college-educated black man, but I am a professor. I'm a teacher of these things. And for you to sit in the front row of my address and laugh and in so doing, denigrate my political point of view, I think needs to be pointed out and it needs to be straightened out. And
well, are you all right? So what did I say that you disagree with?
It's not a matter of me disagreeing with you. It's a matter of you disagreeing with me.
And well, that sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it?
Not, I don't think it sounds arrogant when the facts are very clear. I am a man with a college degree. I am a man with a teacher's credential. I am a black man, and I am a man who is very aware of the societal influences you speak of, the socioeconomic and culture and so forth. Minister Farrakhan made a statement. I concur with it. Now, in the front row of my speech was you, a white man. Are you laughing at me? Now, that does not compute.
And well, you know, the laughter, it was a couple of points where I laughed, Professor Clayton, when I heard you saying that this is going to come sweeping into America. And
yes, but you don't have the, you do not have the training or the education to laugh at me. You see, you don't have the
Well, what about the fact if I just happen to find it funny?
There's no such thing as just happening to find it funny. There comes a point when you have to look at who it is you're listening to and say, that man's got an education, I don't. That man is a black man, I'm not. That man is a teacher, I'm not. That man is most likely much smarter than me. Now, I'm not singling you out.
No, I know you're not singling me out. What you're basically saying is I've got an audience, and there's a lot of people listening to the radio, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime. There's a lot of folks out there who have do not have college degrees, and I shouldn't encourage them.
Well, that's my point, because what you're doing then is you're saying, look at me. I don't have a college degree. As a matter of fact, I don't have I've got no barely any college experience at all, and yet here I am doing a talk show. And I'm making opinions, and I'm formulating opinions, and I even went so far as to sit and listen to the speech of an educated man that I know, and I laughed at him. Laugh. In his face.
And I didn't laugh in your face, Professor Emery. I was sitting there in the front row.
Well, you're sitting in the front row, and you laughed in my face. And
well, I did not mean to. If the laugh, I don't think my laughter was all that evident.
Well, it was fairly evident.
Well, how evident?
Well, I think that when you laughed, people could hear it in the second, third row because you went, ha-ha. You understand?
No, I don't remember going, ha-ha, like that. I remember
you put your hand or your fingers to your nose as if you were trying to stifle a laugh. Now, I'm talking to you about this tonight, Phil, because this is bigger than whatever it was that Farrakhan said what he said, and I agree with him. But for you to laugh, and then you said to me afterwards, I don't have a college education, but a lot of people in America don't. We still are going to have opinions. And I said to you, yes, but are you trying to tell me that your opinion on this is going to be more is going to be right?
Well, who ultimately knows what's right?
Exactly.
Until the event actually comes to, until the event takes place. In this case, uprisings here in the United States in much the same form. I have just heard in my life people talk in apocalyptic terms all the time. All my life I've heard people say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, oh my God this, oh my God that. I have heard people say all kinds of crazy things.
What do you mean by crazy, though? You see, you've heard. But you've seen riots, haven't you? You've seen uprisings.
I've seen a lot of urban disturbance, but none of it having to do with anything that the people are. All of it having to do with the American experience, you know.
Well, the American experience, yes. But you're trying to say you know more about it than I do. Now let's get back to the point. You know,
I'm just telling you what I know.
And what you know is what you know. People who don't have a college education are going to listen to you and say, listen to Phil. He's talking on the radio with a big talk show, and he has these opinions, and he's talking to Hillary Clinton, and he's, excuse me, Phil, but you're butting in, and...
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
But that's what you're doing, and they're going to be encouraged to do the same thing. That's all I'm saying. And
so you don't want people questioning you?
I don't want people such as yourself who don't even have a college education telling me about whether or not Bahrain's going to blow sky high and the brothers there are going to influence some of the activities of the brothers here. This is something I'm intimately involved and knowledgeable in, and you, with no college education, are going to tell me? And then you laughed at me.
I'm apologizing for that, okay?
Apology accepted.
All right. Then can we move on?
We can move on. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just telling you how it affected the speech. It threw me off. And now I've had to deal with people since then who aren't college educated coming up to me and going, well, Professor Clayton, let me tell you what I think. Excuse me, what college did you go to? Well, I didn't go to a college because they know you didn't either.
Well, it's worth talking about, but I don't think that it's, I think it's a dead end. You say, you know, if you have a college, if you don't have a college education, if you do have a college education, you can't talk to me about Minister Farrakhan's statements that the Middle East uprisings are coming to America. Professor Emery Clayton, who is a college educated man, and I did laugh at his speech when he said that he agrees with Minister Farrakhan that the uprisings in the Middle East are coming to America. I shouldn't do that. I don't have a college education. And maybe neither do you. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our number 877-876-7445. Professor Emery Clayton joining me as we comment on Nation of Islam leader Minister Louis Farrakhan predicting on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East.
Let me explain as well, Phil. In that case, in that instance, Minister Farrakhan does not disagree at all with some of these people that you may admire, like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has predicted this.
I don't agree with Glenn Beck, you know.
Well, you may not agree with Glenn Beck, but it puts you a little bit outside of the mainstream of where a lot of you people seem to put your confidence. But I'm going to say this.
I don't agree with him. If Glenn says that this is what's going to happen, I disagree with him, too. I do not believe, and Americans make this mistake always.
Hold on for a minute, because you're starting to give a lecture. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one that...
I understand that. I'm entitled to an opinion, though.
You're entitled to an opinion, but let me... I've got to express mine first. I'm the one with the teaching credential. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one... and you and many of the people that listen to the talk show, I don't know about the people listening to you. Many people listening to talk radio don't have the education that it takes to debate someone such as myself. Now, I am a professor of urban studies. I have a...
Pardon me, but I know what your credentials are.
Why'd you interrupt me? See, you did that again. You did that on Sunday night. You did it again.
Sir, I did not interrupt you on Sunday night. I laughed. I'm sorry that it was a distraction.
It was a humiliation for me to stand there with a college... I got a college degree, and I'm laying it down, as we say. You know, I'm laying it down. Back in my neighborhood, that's what we used to say as young people. I'm going to lay it down for you. And you laugh at me.
I apologize.
I accepted your apology, but I just want you to be aware of what you did.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. I got the same cough you have.
Fancy that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Terry in Meridian, Mississippi. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
First of all, I want to say that this education that he keeps referring to, there is a country full of educated idiots. And, for example, in Washington, D.C. right now, and...
educated idiots.
You, you have the right to your opinion as well as any of the rest of us, but there's a lot of college-educated, college-degree folks out here running up down the road driving trucks, and which I might add is the heartbeat of America is the truck driver. Now,
I don't think that's the norm. I don't think that. I agree with the truck drivers being the heartbeat of America, the haul of freight. The truck drivers do a great job. But to say that most of them have got college degrees, come on.
There are doctors out here. There are medical doctors driving tractor trailers as we speak.
How good can they be as doctors?
How good can they be? Doesn't matter how good they can be or not. They're tired of the profession working in medicine.
Tired of making money? I would think that a man...
who knows why they're driving trucks? Maybe medicine became boring for them. Maybe it wasn't really their calling. Maybe they went into medicine because their mother wanted to be a doctor, wanted them to be a doctor, you know? And they decided they wanted to drive a truck, you know?
Mr. Henry, this is the point that I'm making. And this gentleman, Terry, that's on the line. Terry, please. You can hear Mr. Henry likes to talk. He has no college education. You can talk about the truck drivers with college education. Mr. Henry has no college education, and yet listen to him, blah, blah, blah.
All right, you hold the line. Terry, hold the line. I'm going to take a break, but we will be right back with you here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with I just hung up on Terry. Great. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Nice going, because you're talking.
We'll be right back. Call me back, Terry. Sorry.
Blah, blah.
Phil Henry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, on this night that we roll out the next generation of our video cast, Phil TV. Our new live webcast with a much, much more enhanced view of us doing the show and special effects. With me is Minister Farrakhan. This is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College commenting on what Minister Farrakhan said this past weekend, that the uprisings in the Middle East will visit America. For me to even give an opinion is unworthy.
I didn't say it's unworthy, Phil. What I said was...
Well, that's every time I gave an opinion...
I believe I let you give your opinion at the beginning of this. I believe I... But for you to continue to repeat it in the face of a college-educated black man, and I say that with pride. I'm not hiding that. A college-educated black man. And for you to give your opinion in the face of that and say sociologically and this and that, and a lot of big words. No, your big words that you learn reading Reader's Digest or a big word book, I don't know what kind, that's fine. And
by the way, if I'm enhancing my vocabulary and at least my understanding of words.
But you are giving your listeners who are in the same boat as you, people with no college education, you're empowering them to speak up and argue with me. I don't mind people arguing, but at some point you have to acknowledge I'm arguing with a college-educated man.
877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show. I'll let my listeners decide. How about that? Now, poor Terry, I hung up on him, but he wanted to just conclude some thoughts. Go ahead, Terry, and thanks for hanging in.
Yes, I was going to ask the professor. He keeps talking about, in your defense, I'm speaking in your defense.
Thank you.
And Professor, can you do what Mr. Henry does in that radio booth?
Well, I forgive me for saying this, sir, but I can't. I'm not an organ grinder either. You know, I can't groom poodles, and I don't street. I don't sweep streets. So no, I can't do what Mr. Henry does in that booth. And
this is like a classroom.
A classroom? Are you kidding? Oh, you guys have got to be kidding me. Mr. Henry is at best, he's a guy that's keeping the campfire tended. But you are not teaching people. I teach people. I've got a teaching credential.
There's a lot of people in the classroom with college education that are not teaching. They're drawing a paycheck, sir.
I will tell you this, sir. I think it's a tragedy. I mean, I think it is a damn shame that Mr. Henry commands the audience that he commands, and he hadn't got the education that God gave a hound dog with mange. And
boy, that is really insulting, man. I mean, I got out of high school.
That doesn't get you any place now. And with the job, the level of responsibility that you've got, I find it to be a tragedy. Just a tragedy.
Let's go to Sandy in Yakima, Washington. Sandy, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have been listening this evening, and I'm sorry that I think got so sidetracked, but I'm going to stay on the sidetrack. I am highly offended with Mr. Clayton's assumption and confusion of education versus intelligence. There is a far cry between the two. I know a lot of well-educated idiots, and I know a lot of very intelligent, successful business people that do not have a college education, and I find...
Did you hear how you said that, ma'am? Ma'am, did you hear how you just said that? You said successful. And I think you were being... I don't think you were trying to be funny, but I think it was a subconscious a statement. Successful. In other words, they made... You didn't even know you said that, did you?
And okay, what's the point?
The point is... She was mocking those people.
Yes, she's mocking those people as being, maybe you missed the point.
I didn't miss any point.
No, she was saying that they may be successful, they may be college educated, but they're idiots.
Well, would you deny, ma'am, boy, that takes a lot of guts to say that. Would you deny, ma'am, that there are a lot of people without college educations?
Sir, my brother is a doctorate, and he's intelligent, and he has worked for the government for many years. My father, who had a photographic memory, did not have the opportunity to go to college, was one of the most intelligent men I have ever known. My husband also does not have a college degree, but I will tell you, sir, he could run circles around you in the intelligence area. And education is not an indication of intelligence. It's an indication of schooling, and it might be underwater BB stacking, which means the degree wouldn't amount to much.
You said a whole lot of nothing there, with all due respect. That was a whole lot of nothing. You say you got all these people that are educated, then you got somebody else not educated.
Sir, I am educated.
Are you trying to tell me, though, that people that are uneducated in your family, because you said there's some uneducated ones, are going to be able to out-argue me?
Well,
there are a lot of people that do very well that do not have the kind of education you're talking about, and there are a lot of educated idiots out there.
That may very well be, but they cannot say they know more about what I'm talking about than I do.
Apparently, if someone doesn't agree with you, they're not educated enough.
That makes me angry, Ben. That I will give you all, but you can't tell me that excuse me for saying this, one of your relatives is smarter than me.
You know, are you
Excuse me, Phil,
but I'm talking to the lady who's got an education.
I do have a college education, but let's throw that aside.
Right, so I'd rather talk to you, and I don't want to talk to an idiot like Henry.
Watch the idiot thing.
I did not need a college education to have the ability to be well-read. No one does. It doesn't take that. You can read. You can teach yourself anything, sir. Anything.
Wait a minute. What did you just say? You do not have the ability to be well-read? That doesn't make any sense at all. Wow.
You said to me
you don't have no ability.
He didn't say that.
No, my name is Emery Clayton. Did anybody invite you on a show to be a guest? No, they invited me on a show to be a guest.
Now I know why so much of your time you say blah, blah, blah. It makes more sense now.
See,
anyway, thank you for having me on the show.
You're educated. Yeah, okay, I won.
No, you didn't win. There's nobody winning.
That lady reduced herself to the level of someone throwing, excuse me for saying it, ma'am, like a monkey throwing feces in a cage.
No, she most certainly did not. I don't agree. Thank you very much, Sandy, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't agree with that at all. And
she, at the very end, she was going, wow, wow. She was mocking me like an 11-year-old girl who got into laser tag and somebody else didn't.
You know, Louis Farrakhan made a speech that you made a speech commenting on, and we haven't talked about it at all.
We're not going to talk about his speech until I'm assured of the fact that the people I'm talking to are educated with regard to the cultural, sociological, psychological, political realities of the situation. I'm not going to talk to a guy that's got 1 year at JC. Now, Phil, I don't denigrate you as a man.
No, not at all. You just won't talk to me about certain things, even if I make sense.
You're not making sense. I listened to what you said at the very beginning. You're making no sense. You made about as much sense as that, and I understand you like to listen to Johnny Cash. I'm hearing that Johnny Cash music you was listening to just before the show, right?
Yeah.
You make about as much sense as that guy does.
Johnny Cash has passed on. Let's have a little respect.
I have respect for Mr. Cash, but I'm saying his music is not my cup of tea. He doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying it's bad, agent. I just don't understand what he's talking about. Boy Named Sue, and that's not even what we're discussing here.
All right, let me move on to a call here. 877-876-7445. Joanna in Lafayette, Louisiana. Hi, Joanna. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Listen, Phil, I don't understand why you were putting up with this fellow. Sir, I have a master's degree in psychology, okay? And I've worked at a university, and I'll tell you something right now. You're talking to an educated woman. And let me tell you something. In America, Americans, whether they're educated or uneducated, have the right to have an opinion, and they have the right to vote and express that opinion. And our forefathers gave us that. And you are very arrogant to assume that your opinion is better than anyone else's.
I never said you don't have, or Mr. Harry had no right. I said once I heard his 1 year of junior college opinion, am I supposed to sit there and argue with a man? And he's trying to tell me about the Middle East and the cultural reality of not only the Middle East, but the racial reality of that part of the world. He's trying to tell me, a black man. And I got to sit and listen and
Yes, you are supposed to. Because he has a right to his opinion.
I heard the opinion. Now it's time to get real. You see what I'm saying? It would be like you have a degree in psychology. Are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start laying it on you about psychology?
Hey, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay, right there, you just gave it away. You see?
I didn't give anything away, sir. The phone is not coming through clearly.
No, you gave it away. I'm talking too fast. I'm talking too fast for you. Isn't that what you said?
Oh, God.
Yes, but
the connection is bad, sir.
Uh-huh. What I said was the following thing. Are you going to be, as a psychologist... Well, she's giving me lip.
Well, lip. She's not giving you any lip.
I heard her go, uh-huh.
No.
Look at this is not we're not we're not look at the professor.
Look at Mr. Hendry, I've got way better things I can do, okay? You know, I've got rats in the cellar, you know. What I'm saying is this. Are you gonna listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start rapping psychology to you? Of course not. You may listen to that child for about 5 minutes, and then you'll politely dismiss that child and move on about your business. It's the same thing with me.
Okay,
and I'm going to come on the Phil Henry show, and Mr. Henry's going to tell me all about Bahrain, and he's going to tell me all that. No.
Look, anyone can educate themselves, just like that former lady said. Anyone can study and read. Look at Glenn Beck. He is so brilliant. He's probably got an IQ.
He's an idiot. Oh, he doesn't have nothing figured out.
Degree, but he's got a memory that's impeccable. He can stand in front of
How do you know his memory's impeccable? How do you know he's not making that? How do you know that simple-minded fool isn't making half of that stuff up? You don't know.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
That man is telling the truth. He's
How do you
the only
know?
One giving America the truth. You, almost the
know,
only
I bet,
one.
I bet you don't even check it out. I bet you just trust him because you
yes,
think he's
I
like, what do you want to call it, Jesus?
I
you think he's like
just
Jesus
listen
Christ?
To him. I'll listen to idiots like you, too.
Glenn Beck is going to be in a padded cell one of these days, and you'll be
No, he's not.
That by your friend.
But I'll
he'll
tell you
be
something
in a padded
else.
Cell.
God, man,
America
you really have got...
is a free
not...
country, sir. Our forefathers
well,
made it free.
It,
and
then,
if we don't
you,
start respecting
you, Glenn
the
Glenn Beck
country,
agrees with Louis Farrakhan. Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan.
The Constitution and making our law according to the Constitution, we won't be free anymore. And if we listen to people like you and Farrakhan, we'll be oppressed, okay?
Wait a minute.
And
see,
I don't intend on
you're
being
not smart.
Oppressed.
That proves you're not smart because Glenn Beck agrees with Farrakhan. He thinks the violence is coming here, too.
Aha! Oh, that's
so
right.
Right
that's
oh,
right.
Come on.
And,
yeah.
And I believe...
So there you go.
I believe... That this will be tried in America, but it won't succeed. And I believe that's
exactly.
what Phil was
No, it will succeed.
It won't succeed
no, I was saying
because
that
Americans
it's not...
won't let it succeed.
Oh,
They'll
well,
try.
Hold on. I want to give you something that you deserve here.
Hey, what a speech.
Isn't that beautiful?
Why are you being sarcastic?
Oh, she thinks she's Dolly Madison.
All right, anyway, thank you for your call, ma'am. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's pretty rude. Don't you think, Professor? Yeah. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
A lot of demand to talk to Professor Emory Clayton here tonight, so we may just go into the next hour with Professor Clayton. He has told me that he's willing to. Professor Clayton, I appreciate that.
Well, I would like you and I'd like your listeners to understand, and I hope that they are at this particular, I hope that they are being mindful of the fact that I have said, yes, I would like to be a part of another hour of broadcasting. That means I am being gracious. That means that I am being forthcoming. That means I'm being magnanimous. It's one of my favorite words, magnanimous. Magnanimity. And I do not believe it's been extended to me.
Professor Clayton, I have apologized to you for laughing at you during your speech. I acknowledge you're an educated man, but I think you're practicing some form of...
What, voodoo? You want to start talking about the black man?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I think I was going to say some kind of intellectual totalitarian thinking where only those with college educations should speak.
Well, I believe that we have reached a point in this country. We have so many idiots. Now, that lady there just said, Glenn, who's the man that's on the radio?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, she's talking about, boy, there's a guy that's got no education, spent time in a drunk tank. From my understanding, wasn't he trying out at Promises or the Betty Ford Clinic or someplace like that?
And I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think people can learn from their mistakes in life, move on, and benefit other people. Here is Jay in Houston, Texas. Jay, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Professor Emory Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell that professor that
with all his education and everything. I don't have no education, sir, but I make $175,000 a year in the oil fields. And people don't have to brag on themselves. You're so self-centered, man. You need to get off
I'm not putting down. I'm not putting down how much money you make. I think that's a great thing. I think you've found your calling in this world. But when
you're going to talk to me
about Louis Farrakhan, nobody's going to talk to me about that. And Mr. Henry laughed at me. He sat there in the front row and laughed. Laughed like a hyena.
No, I didn't. I didn't laugh like a hyena. I laughed.
Sir, the man has already apologized.
Watch his language, please.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? No college education, the man comes out with the S-bomb.
All right, the man was, you know, Professor Clayton, you're not giving people a chance.
Yeah, you need to.
I think I'm giving them.
You need to keep your mouth shut a little bit and listen. I think you have a lot of college education, but for what? I don't hear nothing coming out of you, but you're a
college
black
education.
Man.
I said to Henry and the rest of them people that were talking, that were listening to me, that Louis Farrakhan is right. There are going to be uprisings in the United States. Then Henry says to me, well, Glenn Beck agrees with you. And I said, man, boy, I don't know what you're smoking, or maybe you ought to check the mushrooms you're eating, because that's about the wildest thing I've ever heard.
I think everything you say.
It's true. It's true. If Glenn Beck, Louis Farrakhan, you know, there's a lot of people predicting some sort of whack apocalyptic thing. I don't agree with that.
Well, you may not agree with it, but you're disagreeing with a man. Here I am. And this gentleman here, this Jay, he doesn't like me saying it, but I got to say it. You're disagreeing with a man who, A, I've got a college education. I've got a...
We know all about your college education.
Tired of hearing.
God.
Well, you know what? Then when you guys get an education like the one I've got, then you can talk.
I bet you don't make no money, man.
But you know what? I'm a teacher. Is that all right with you? What do you think? You going to laugh at teachers, too? We spend a lot of time laughing at teachers.
My wife is a teacher. My wife is a school teacher.
You laugh at her?
No, you don't go around bragging. I've got all these credentials and all this. She don't put me down. I don't put her down. All you done is put this man in the radio. Hold on, man. Let me finish, man. Let me finish. All you do is put down the radio, the guy on the field. All you've done is put him down. You put down that lady before you put down. You need to be put down. You need to be put in your place, sir. The best thing that ever...
Hold on, sir. The college education that I've got. I'm educated.
I don't care about your college education. You bleed just like me. You bleed just like me. You put your pants on just like me. You use the restroom just like me.
I'll wash my pants first.
Okay. All right, Jeff, very good, Jay. Very good call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Professor Emery Clayton. We're going another hour in this discussion of college educations and Louis Farrakhan.
Put my pants on like him, I don't think so.
Phil Henry.
I wash my drawers.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I have not, because I don't feel like there's any real support there. No one has issues.
The take-home lesson from this is that, they were very, very unprofessional.
Are you blonde?
No. Tons of gone out onto the streets to protest, say that...
And he pulled his pants down?
There is something that I got to tell you now.
Who's the wiener here?
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking here with Professor Emery Clayton about a lot more than just Louis Farrakhan, we're talking about college educations, and who has the right to speak in America, a country built on free speech. We'll be back with Professor Clayton here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have rolled out the next generation of Phil TV. Our live webcast is enhanced tonight, and we hope you join us with a backstage pass and watch as we give you multiple camera angles, enhanced effects, and a whole new viewing experience on the World Wide Web here, the Phil Henry Show. As well as, of course, with a backstage pass, our archives, as well as our podcast, the daily podcast, you can access at philhenryshow.com and through iTunes as well, and our classic podcast. So lots to do, and a lot waiting for you at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. And so before we get back to some phone calls, and we appreciate the people who have been hanging on with us, Professor Clayton, back with us. And, you know, obviously you've raised a ruckus here, Professor Clayton, starting with your contention that I did not have the right to laugh at you during that talk you gave, and then moving on to I don't really have the right to talk to you about this issue, and then moving on to the fact that I'm uneducated. And it doesn't seem to bother you that you sound effete. You sound...
That's one of those 50-cent words.
Well, you sound Machiavellian, totalitarian. You sound dictatorial. You sound controlling. What word would you like to use?
I am. Here's the word I'd like to use. I'm educated. I'm educated, Phil. Now, I know... I give every man his due. Don't think that I'm not egalitarian. I'm a very egalitarian man, but I give every man his due, but I also know what each man is due. Now, if you want me on your radio program, I've been doing your radio program. I'm here in the middle of the night, and I'd love to be on, I don't know if you're familiar, on that Mike Malloy show. I want to get on that show and do some of these other shows that are not overnight, and I'm buried. I mean, I'm buried alive in the middle of the night. I don't know if you ever heard. There's only one band that I like of that, what you call heavy metal, because most of my music, as you probably imagine, I like black music. But I do like that one band that's called Venom. And
I know Venom. They're a metal band.
Yes, and they've got a song called Buried Alive. And doing these radio shows with you, man, when I hear that man sing that song, drinking that Newcastle beer like those white people do in England, I'm buried alive, all right. I'm trying to claw myself out of the dirt. And
well, you know, if you're having a hard time dealing with being on this show, then maybe we can just conclude.
No, I'm not. You get so touchy, don't you?
Well, you're talking about the fact that I'm not educated, the fact that you're buried alive here in the middle of the night on my show. You'd rather be on Mike Malloy's show.
Well, because Mike Malloy agrees with the great... You're a conservative. You're talking about Patriot Radio and all this. And
well, why don't we talk about Wisconsin, but you don't want to do that either.
I'm not going to get involved in a discussion of Wisconsin where I'm going to be sucked in to having to talk to people that are not educated enough on the issue of Wisconsin to debate intelligently, and all they know how to do is call me... stuck up and get all mad at me because I'm smarter than them. I won't have it. I will not have that. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin with you, Phil. And I've told you how you can talk about Wisconsin with me.
Yeah, you told me go back and get two more years of school.
Right. You go back and get your bachelor's degree because you got 2 years of JC, my friend. That ain't going to get it done. That just don't cut it. That don't cut it, the conversation with me. You want to sit down and break bread with me? At least I'm being honest with you.
877-876-7445. Must be a very lonely world not having anybody to talk to.
Whoa, wait a second. I got plenty of people to talk to. I got plenty of people to talk to.
You got plenty of people to talk to. You should not get so upset when a man such as myself, as low on the totem pole as I am, laughs during one of your speeches. Here is Lynn in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead, Lynn.
I wasn't giving a speech. I was giving a talk.
All right. Go ahead, Lynn. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Clayton. Yes, ma'am. Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Clayton. I'm in a situation where that I deal with a lot of different people of a lot of different cultures, and I can spot a professor right off because they seem to have this arrogance about them that their way is the only way, and I just think it's really unfortunate that our young people are going to college. they're putting themselves in front of someone like you who is so extremely opinionated that you don't have time to listen to people. And I think if you were a little nicer to people, maybe they'd be nicer to you.
I do have time. I do have time to listen to people. And I do listen to people. And I can't help it if I'm right. When I look at someone, he says to me, Mr. Henry, I've got a year and a half at JC, and then he laughs at me. Laughs in my face.
Just because you have an education doesn't mean you're right. And like I said before, to think that our young people are going to college and they get your opinion, which seems to be the only opinion, on regardless of what it is, I just think it's really, really sad.
My opinion is the only opinion. But I will say that Mr. Henry does not have the education to debate me. Now, if I had someone, I don't know what your education is.
You had people coming on here with education.
Whoa, excuse me. I'm talking to the lady. Ma'am, what is your educational level?
Actually, I went to high school, but I also know how to treat people like people. And, you know, I'm not going out there. I'm not trying to agitate people.
Okay.
What does that mean?
You wasted my time, Ms. Henry.
I'm not wasting your time.
How about if you treat people the way that you want to be treated? And I think you get from people what you ask for. And I deal with professors.
I know. When you make lemons, they make lemonade out of lemons, and you make a pig's ear out of a sow's syrup. The point is that...
Don't be condescending, okay?
I thought you were lining up people that had been to college. I thought you were lining them up for me.
I think
so that
you
we go one, bang, bang, bang.
I'm human. Just because I couldn't afford to go to college doesn't make me an idiot.
What we're talking about, Professor Clayton, is how to treat people.
I know what you're doing. It's like I may not be a great man, but at least I'm a civil man. I understand that. I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson.
Exactly.
I think the world needs kindness, but I also feel that the world needs a little more ass kicking. I think we got to put our boot in the ass of a few people. And I think some of these, like you, Mr. Henry, 2 years of college, I'd put my boot in your ass. Why don't you go back and get your B.A.? Or you've been spending too much time in college flashing a B.A. I bet you that was your problem.
Well, that's very nice talk with a lady on the line.
Oh, she knows. She knows I'm clowning.
Anyway, Lynn, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, you know,
I agree with the lady. There should be more kindness. I agree with you, ma'am. But
prayer list that God will come down and thump you on the head and make you nicer. You have a blessed day.
You know, that's another way of saying F you. You know that, don't you?
What is?
Saying I'll pray for you. That's another way of people so they can say, boy, I'd like you.
Well, you see, you're in this area of condescension.
No, I'm not, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're in an area of condescension where now it's, I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson. And a pig's ear out of a sow's purse or whatever.
A pig's ear out of a sow's purse? You mean a sow's purse out of a sow? Oh, boy, you got it so jacked up and balled up, I don't even know what it is.
A silk purse out of a sow's ear.
There, look at that. That's what 2 years of college gets you. You got to sit there and rack your brains over something like that? Give me a break. I didn't disrespect that lady at all.
Yes, you did. You're talking to her, you're talking to me like we don't rate. And you don't want to talk about Wisconsin because we don't have the education. Mike in Bakersfield, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I mean,
I'm trying to maintain a level. I'm trying to maintain a certain level.
Yes, sir.
For quite a while, just seething listening to this individual. Because, Professor, you are not a teacher. You are a professor. There is a difference. You can be well-rounded, well-educated without going to college. You can have knowledge. You can have opinions. Professor, what is the spacing of a 2x4 in a wall? How many inches on center? Do you know?
I hire a guy.
You don't know. What is an SCCM, a skim?
I know what that is.
Listen.
It's something a guy without a college education needs to know about.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Squared cubic centimeter. It is a flow measurement of gases in the semiconductor industry, Professor.
It means nothing.
It means
nothing.
Do you know what a TOR is? Of course not.
There's no point to that.
Because you, sir, could not find your butt with a flashlight, a roadmap, and both hands. You are a pompous, arrogant individual whose only claim is that I'm an educated
man. I hire guys that know stuff like
that. Who
cares? I hire guys that know stuff like that. I don't need to know that. I hire a man to know that.
But you claim to be educated. You claim to have a college degree. You should know this stuff.
That's something you learn in manual arts. You don't learn that in college.
No, 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 sir.
Yes, you learn that on a
working on multi-million-dollar tools producing the chips that are in the computer that you use every day.
You learn that at night on a matchbook, one of the matchbook universities.
You learn that in school.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Professor, what is FSII?
What is the basic lower bicameral house of Sudan?
Sir, that I do not know.
Bicameral lower house?
That I do not know.
You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't know
how
the nations of this world stack up.
How is knowing that applicable and financially viable?
So you, the next time you get up on a radio station and talk about Africa, then you know. Now, what is a midget?
Because
what's
the only way you can earn a living.
What? What do you mean, what's a midget?
That you are producing.
I bet you don't even know what a midget is.
What is that supposed to mean?
A midget.
What is it? A midget?
Yes.
A midget is a small person. It is a small vehicle. It is a measure of dimensions.
I gave you an easy one.
Now, you know, this is a conversation that we're having.
I gave him an easy one. But what he's trying to do is he's laying some stuff on me that he took at Manual Arts High School. And he's trying to ask me what that means. And
Professor,
I got a four-year degree.
You stay right there in college. Because if you had to get your hands dirty and actually earn a living, you couldn't do it. Thank you very much.
What I do, don't you dare hang up. I get the last word on
that. Oh, hold on. Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. This asinine conversation with Professor Emery Clayton will continue after the break. How much education do you need? I'm going to get into Wisconsin with him and what's going on in Wisconsin. Even though I don't have enough education to talk to him about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our Patriot line is open. Professor Emery Clayton has joined us. It's always a challenging time. Professor, Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker has said that the Democrats better come back, or they're going to have to move ahead with a budget that is essentially going to further strap the state. Okay?
Yeah. Again, something that you don't know anything about.
And can you not be so insulting?
Well, I'm trying not to be insulting. What I'm trying to say is, let the record show you laughed at me. And
I laughed at you. It's over, okay? I thought you accepted my apology.
I did accept your apology. I did accept your apology. You want to talk about Wisconsin? All right, we can talk about Wisconsin. We can talk about Louis Farrakhan if you want. That'd be fine. But I'm going to tell you, as God made green little apples, that if I'm right and you're wrong, you have to take it like a man. And that's the problem we've got with so many people these days that get involved in these conversations, political conversation. And I find myself arguing circles around these people, and they can't even take it like a man. And for me to find truth.
Well, you know, maybe you're not exactly convincing them.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, though. If I don't convince them, that is a question of their education. What I'm talking about.
All right, 877-876-7445. We'll take another phone call here, and we have Lorraine in Mobile, Alabama. Lorraine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Professor Clayton, you may have a college education, but the world teaches you common sense, and you wouldn't be affecting your health by trying to force people to believe like you if you would just listen.
I listen to people, man. I listen all the time. And these days,
I'm 83 years old, and
you made it through.
I haven't heard anything that you've taught me.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, that, well, I'd be happy to teach you, but I have a classroom full of young people I teach, and I'd be happy to teach you, Lorraine, but Mr. Hendry feels the need to continue to talk and talk about things he don't know anything about.
Like what?
Well, you want to talk about Wisconsin, and I'm sure Lorraine would like to talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is known as the Badger State. You know why? Because the way they run their lives up there, it badgers people to death, the way they run their lives up there, the way they run everything into the ground. You know, it's a cheese, Lorraine. They have cheese in Wisconsin. You understand that?
I couldn't understand you. Do you agree with them, the one that's on
strike? Ma'am, you're telling me you don't even know they got cheese in Wisconsin.
She couldn't hear you. She's asking, do you...
You tell people what they believe and what they think. You have no idea because you don't ever listen.
Well, ma'am, I asked you, are you aware of the fact that they have cheese in Wisconsin? Cheese. You're aware of that?
Yes, she's aware of that.
No, I'm just asking the lady if she is.
Well, I didn't call to talk about Wisconsin. I called to try to save you a little time and making yourself sick. You can't force people to believe you when they know better.
You're absolutely right, ma'am. You're absolutely right. And when they know better, no, you're absolutely right. You know, but I'll tell you something. If people think they know better, but they don't, and I can feel my guts starting to churn. And forgive me for saying this, but I'm on a toilet for the rest of the day. You know what I'm talking about. Who did that? Did I do that, or did they do that? They did that.
You just make yourself sick by thinking everybody has to agree with you. You have to learn to take it both ways.
You know, the thing of it is, Professor Clayton, even if they're wrong and you're right, you have to just say, well, you know.
All right. Do you do that on your show? Of course you don't.
Well, I'm on a radio show. I have to maintain a level of credibility.
What? What does that mean exactly?
That means that it's different from being in a classroom. Hey, thank you very much, Lorraine. Very nice call, and good of you to talk to us tonight. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. I thought I heard music going there in the background. Maybe not. Let's go over to John. We've got about a minute to go in this segment. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I don't mean to talk about Wisconsin. I'm in the military, so
yes, sir.
My national discussions are a little out of whack, but I usually keep up with international just because of the fact of where we might go, where we might be.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
My thing is the whole uprising in the U.S. and if you're going to go with riots and stuff like that, well, that happens all the time, but it's normally settled through the police or the courts. And if you look at Wisconsin, those are peaceful riots or peaceful protesters, and the police said that they weren't going to take them out of the building because they were being peaceful.
Hold on, John. John, hold the line. We'll be right back with you, John, and with Professor Emery Clayton here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for Patriots by Patriots.
Phil Hendry. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Professor Emory Clayton here. And if you're looking on our videocast, philhenryshow.com, the backdrop there is the city of Seattle.
What city are you in?
Well, I'm in El Pacifico here. I'm up on the L.A. Ventura County line.
Why don't you have a picture of, why don't you have the ocean or something?
Because we're just testing out our new video equipment, and we have a beautiful backdrop of Seattle, which is where my producer, Jason Rance, resides. And it's a beautiful city, so.
I wanted to, if I could, see, forgive me, that didn't make any sense to me. And
does that make you feel superior?
No, it doesn't make me feel superior. No, sir. No, it doesn't. But I do want to ask you something about what you do.
Go ahead.
You see, you talking to me, and I yesterday I told you, I forgive you, but you laughed at me. And I asked myself, I'm giving an address to people on the situation in the Middle East and why the people there are uprising against their governments and the reality, in my opinion, the same as Louis Farrakhan that's going to visit America. And I'm giving this talk, and you laugh at me. And I ask, how does this world get so balled up that you, with a year and a half, I don't think you got a year and a half of JC, laugh at me, and I got my master's degree from Morehouse College, and I did my postgraduate work at the very same school that Condoleezza Rice went to, University of Denver. Now, I want to ask you something. I've seen you on the television. I've seen you on video. How is it you sit there and hop around like a monkey? It looks to me, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean any offense, but what you're doing there, you look like a monkey moving all around like a monkey in a cage, you know.
And but you don't mean any offense.
I don't. I'm being very descriptive. Understand there's a difference. I'm being descriptive, and you look like a chimpanzee moving around and grabbing this and grabbing that, hopping all over the place.
And what do you mean grabbing this and grabbing that?
I'm watching you on your video, okay?
Right.
And you're grabbing knobs and twisting and jumping and scratching yourself, and it reminded me of going to the primate house at a monkey, at a, what do you call it, a monkey zoo, or wherever they keep. Now,
you know, if I said to you the very same thing,
that would be racist.
Yeah, there you go. It would be racist. Yeah, but not you to me.
I don't recall white people ever being consistently compared to a monkey. Do you?
It's individual white people, yeah.
Well, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the consistent comparison. But I'm not saying that you are a monkey. I ain't even saying you look like a monkey. I'm saying your movements are monkey-like. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. You know what? I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm going to go back to this gentleman who's been hanging on. It's John in New Bern, North Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion on who laughed and who. That's just that seems like something that I would argue with my best friend about when I was 12. My question is.
No, he looked like a monkey, that's all.
Okay, well, then if that's what you think, that's your opinion, and you're able to have one in this great nation, and so is he, and so am I, and so is everybody else. I don't need to get into opinions. My question is the whole Middle East uprising, are you,
right.
when you say it, when you agree that it's going to come to America, are you saying it's going to come at the rural area, the state level, the national level? I mean, what do you mean by when you agree that it's going to come over here?
Well, I believe that we're going to have, as Minister Farrakhan said, there will be a urban uprising of the have-nots against the have, same as you've seen in the Middle East. See, and
you don't see any difference between the United States and the Middle East.
I'm trying to answer this gentleman's question, and you just jump right in, and that's why I say it reminds me of a what do you call a monkey at the zoo. And,
you know, whether it reminds you of a monkey or not, you believe that this is going to happen in the United States because we're the same as Bahrain, we're the same as Tunisia, we're the same as Egypt.
I think that we have. See, you're asking me questions, and John, forgive me, but Mr. Henry has. You're asking me questions you got no right to ask.
And why don't I?
Because you don't have the education. See. That's what I'm saying, John.
You're saying that to me, or?
I'm saying to you, sir, yes, I do believe it'll be urban, and I do believe it will be among the lower classes, the less privileged classes, the people, lower middle class and lower class people, economically deprived for a long time in this country, yes.
Now, are you saying that it's going to be on the same violent level as it is going on over there?
I do. Absolutely, yes.
See, no, now, I would
disagree, too.
I would disagree with that because let's say I'm poor and you know I'm not liking a bunch of my buddies
can
get together
you?
and we retaliate. Now if we're just retaliating,
what's your educational level? Can I ask you if you've been to college?
Oh God.
No, I went to high school and then I joined the military.
Okay. Yeah. See, I can't. You know.
Is there a problem with being in the military?
No, there's nothing wrong with being in the military, but I don't think you have the education to argue with me.
Well, I have the education to lead people into battle and to make sound decisions in a split second.
Absolutely.
That saves lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'd say, I keep up with these international things because that's where I might go. And,
right, and
those
paper,
are things,
that's
those are things that I might have to deal with.
But I'm an educated man, see. And
here we go again. I mean, it's like we're right back where we started.
And you keep sending me back.
See, Professor, and I understand that. I understand you're educated, and I'm not questioning that. And like these past callers, I'm not going to ask you questions about my job, and I don't need to hear questions about your job. I understand that you're smarter than me in certain areas, and I know that I'm smarter than you in certain areas, just not in the same areas. So
well,
if we can agree
sure
to
about that, if, I'm not if sure we about can, that, but
if we can agree to disagree. I would say that if something like Libya happened here, let's say at a state level,
it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here.
Saying,
I mean, we ever came. Excuse me for interrupting, but I got to move this along. The closest we ever came to Libya in this country was in the 1960s when we had a series of urban riots. We had a series of from one city to the next of urban insurrections, if you want to call them that, Professor. And that was one city after the next. I mean, Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, New York, Los Angeles, the South. It was all over the country, and somehow we were able to weather that, pull it together, and survive on to the present day. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. Thank you very much for your call, John. I appreciate it. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. We're always, because the American people just love to scare themselves.
So you're trying to tell me that what happened in the 1960s is what happened in Libya right now?
I'm telling you, the closest our country has come in recent years to what's happening in Libya, Egypt, was the urban insurrections of the 1960s, what we called then the riots. But they were dissatisfied, angry, pissed off Americans, and they had every right to be. And they went out and they hit the streets and they started taking it out on each other, on their neighborhoods, on cops, on the National Guard, and vice versa. And it was a horrible, bloody time.
Well, you just said a whole lot there, and you didn't allow me to say anything. And you didn't allow me to say, and plus, you hung up on that guy. So now he thinks that you're telling me what to do, and I'm the guy with the education.
You're the guy with the education. Tell me what I just said. What's wrong with it?
I'm not going to comment on what you just said, because you don't have the education for me to comment on it. It might be very good, but I'm not going to comment on it. What happened was, as you started talking, that guy hung up. And I'm sitting here like you're scratching my nappy head and saying, now, you take your books, boy, get.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
And you're laughing at me again. And
I didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, it sounded to me like I had bare feet and overalls. You scratched me on my nappy head and said, you best get now, boy. Because that guy's not on the phone anymore. And you're talking to me, an educated man.
About my opinion, that I think that's what the last time that happened in the United States. I think that in this country, we're constantly seeing these terrible things for being something worse than they are. Here is Robin in Boston. Go ahead, Robin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't know.
Hi.
Is this Robin? Or is your name Robin?
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just had to say that just because someone goes to college doesn't mean that they're fully educated. Some of the most intelligent people I know didn't finish college. For example, my father...
Well, how do you know they're intelligent?
Uh, Well, my father, for example, he knows a lot about astronomy, history. He can hold his own in any political discussion that I have with him. It's, you know, intelligence isn't just formal education. It's about what you know in general. And
that's all fine and dandy, but when we're talking about whether or not the urban insurrection of the 1960s is the same as the insurrections in Libya and Egypt, and Mr. Henry says that that was as close as we ever came to it in this country, and he kept talking about it till that one guy hung up, and I'm sitting here with a college degree, and he's treating me he's visiting my shack in the backwoods of West Virginia working for Vista.
Well, yes, it may not have been good that he cut the guy off. I don't know how the show works and how the timing works, but you can't keep using your education as, you know, every time someone brings up a point and they ask you to respond, right, you claim that you can't respond because you're an educated man and that they don't deserve a response. The only thing that separates between you and Mr. Henry is 2 years of college, only 2 years of education.
No. That's wrong. That's wrong. I went to 4 years, then I did my postgraduate work. So I've got 8 years of education, Mr. Henry. In other words, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10, and Mr. Henry is 1/8.
1/8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's right.
Well, I apologize for saying that wrong. But you should be educated enough to understand that not everyone who you talk to is going to be as educated as you are, and you should understand that you need to bring, I'll use your term, you need to bring yourself down to their level so that you can have a conversation, and maybe you can see that some of the people without college education are just as intelligent as you in other ways.
Robin, that's a very good point. That is a very good point, and in fact, I did do that once. I decided I would bring myself down to people's level when I was teaching, my very first years of teaching at the high school level. And I wanted to lower myself and lower myself and lower myself. But you know, Robin, there are times you can do that and you lose yourself. I woke up, and I'm not proud of this. I woke up in bed with a 16-year-old girl. That's how low I sunk. What are you laughing at?
Good God!
Excuse me, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing. That's how low you. Robin's talking about education.
I know what she's talking about, sir.
Okay, and well, so you wanted to reach out to your students, and you wind up sleeping with us.
Education.
No, but you said to lower myself to that level, and I lowered myself so much. I woke up. There were wine. There were bottles of wine laying around. And a woman and thank God I was only about 28, 29 years old myself, but the fact is, I got up from that bed, I remember throwing up, and walking outside and wondering, what have I done, you know? And I walked halfway down the street in just a pair of underwear and a T-shirt. I didn't even want to get dressed, I just kept walking.
So in your effort to reach out and lower yourself to your student's level, you wound up sleeping with one of them and drinking wine and walking home half naked?
Yes, that's the whole. Well, she's laughing again. See,
I'm sorry. I apologize.
This is why. When I say to you, Mr. Henry, I tell the truth. I tell people how I've come up. I tell people the tough road I've been down. And like I said on Sunday, and you sat there, and here's Robin and the two of you laughing like a couple of hyenas.
She's not laughing like a hyena. She's giggling.
Well, it's the same spike into my gut.
Okay, Robin. Thank you very
much. Your pride.
It's okay. Forget it.
Robin, thank you very much for your call. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Boy, I'll tell you.
Seriously, what is up with that, with you laughing? And
you're telling me you tried to lower yourself and to understand your students, and you wound up in bed with a 16-year-old girl with wine empties laying around.
That's exactly what happened. I'm not proud of that at all. But that's what happened. And I try to tell people that and tell people how I've come up a long way and how I've come up a tough road. And they go, ha, 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 ha. Now, what do you say to a man like that? What do you say to a man that laughs in your face after you show him something that you sweated on while you lived in solitary confinement in a dungeon, chained to a wall, bleeding, and you show him the thing that you worked on, and and he goes, and he does this. Here, hold on. Like that. I had to put the phone down because the last man, that's exactly how he sounded.
I guess that was me, huh?
Yes, sir.
877-876. I wasn't laughing at you in the middle of any kind of pain, sir. You were in the middle. You were talking about the Middle East. 877-876-PHIL. This is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Which is considered spiritual counseling by its members.
Can you hold on for a minute?
What?
We're back here on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. In the last segment here with Professor Emory Clayton, Minister Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, as you just said to me, Professor, in this talk that he gave on Sunday, now, you know, let me just say this, and then you can comment, okay? I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just, you know.
Well, you are giving an opinion.
Well, just listen to this, man.
Hey, you know something? I don't like being called man. All right, you know, I left my jitterbugging days.
All right, I apologize. Minister Farrakhan praised Scientology and its founder, L. Ron Hubbard. He extolled the virtues of Scientology and its auditing process. L. Ron Hubbard is so exceedingly valuable to every Caucasian person on this earth. L. Ron Hubbard himself was and is trying to civilize white people and make them better human beings and take away from them their reactive minds. Mr. Hubbard recognized that his people have to be civilized, Farrakhan said to a cheering crowd. He's described a 1983 religious experience in which he ascended into a flying saucer and heard the voice of Elijah Muhammad predicting historical events that came to pass. And he, the keynote address titled God Will Send Saviors capped a weekend of workshops focused on health, preparing for natural disasters, and unidentified flying objects. The Nation of Islam believes in a UFO called the Wheel or the Mother Plane.
Right. What do you want?
Well, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. What makes you think, because when Minister Farrakhan says that there's going to be upheaval and uprising in the Middle East and it will travel to America, I mean, a lot of what he says makes sense. There's no denying that. There's no denying. Do I agree 100%? No.
And well, what part do you agree with?
What part do I agree with? You can't deny that there might be people on other planets. Are you trying to deny that?
No, I'm not.
All right. All Minister Farrakhan is saying that if there are people on other planets, get ready. And he's talking about L. Ron Hubbard. You know, I think he said something about Scientology. It makes a lot of sense. All these white people are trying to run down L. Ron Hubbard and say he a charlatan, some kind of a murderer. I mean, they've said all kinds of things about this man. And yet he's the only white man I can think of to come along and talk to other white people and say, you got to get your mind right. Your minds are nothing more than receptacles for garbage. The white man's mind has been a receptacle for garbage for so long. Along comes L. Ron Hubbard to say, let's clean that garbage out. Let's clean that trash out and focus on the flying saucers and the things that are happening. And what do they call them? They call them nuts. But by way of thinking...
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Jerry in Jacksonville. Go ahead. Jacksonville, North Carolina. Go ahead.
By way of thinking, the man makes sense.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Mr. Henry, this is the first time I've ever heard your radio show. I will be
yes,
a fan from now on.
Thank
but
you.
I have never heard such a pompous jerk in my life as this so-called professor you have on. I tuned in the middle of this program, and I would like to know where the professor teaches and what he teaches.
I teach at Canyon College, and I teach UFO studies, excuse me, I teach Caucasian, the history of the Caucasian, UFO studies, and urban studies.
History of the Caucasian.
That's right.
Okay, just to establish my bona fides in order to converse with you, as you have stated that...
I got to go. I ordered the cab. And he's getting parked outside.
No, let me speak.
I know, but I've got a cab waiting outside. I'm trying not to, but I got a cab waiting outside.
Phil Hendry, you're rude.
I'm rude. I ordered the cab.